saw my baby then. She was stretched out on that long white table, so young, so sweet, so fair. Well, let her go, God bless her.
Well, I feel like it's a good thing that we have a podcast about haunted shit, because these microphones are constantly haunted by something, one thing or another. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Hauntheads, the podcast that goes bump in the night. I am your host, Janine Mercer, and I am joined here, as always, by...
Mimi Steven.
Miss Mimi Steven. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. This is a very special episode.
Why?
Well, because we've been doing this now for a year.
A whole year.
Friggin' year. Can you believe it?
It's been that long.
It's pretty crazy. I set up a notification on my phone that said Hauntheads 1 year. So that 1 year from the day that we met at Panera to talk about starting this whole crazy whirly gigathon. You were like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, okay. And then, Hauntheads was born. So there were a couple of things that I wanted to mention, first and foremost, at the beginning of this episode. The first is, because we've been around for a year now, we've developed a little bit of a fan following, not like a super big fan following or anything, which is totally fine, because, we do this for fun. But... I just wanted to make sure that you guys are all subscribed to Hauntheads. If you're subscribed to us, that basically means that you're going to get notifications every time we upload a brand new episode. It also means that we will love you unconditionally forever. So that should be motivation enough. The second thing that I wanted to mention was shout out to ghostquest.net. Thank you guys so much for mentioning Hauntheads as one of the featured podcasts on your website. We greatly appreciate it because, like I said, we do this for fun and we enjoy doing it. So, it's nice to know that there are other people listening and enjoying it with us and having fun with us. The third thing that I wanted to mention, Heidi commented on one of our posts on our blog.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi. Shout out to Heidi. Maybe she lives on a mountain with her grandfather.
Hmm.
And,
Peter?
Yeah, Heidi. Yeah. Maybe.
I got the reference.
Yeah.
Yay, I actually got one.
Let us know, Heidi, if you do actually live on a mountain with your grandfather, because that would be kind of funny and also cool. So Heidi says that in relation to the Goatman fact or fiction post, which was... a little while ago, she says that there is another Goatman story, a similar story, in relation to her childhood. So I'm going
to
read that.
I can't
wait to hear it. It's just short, but... So it says, there is one, meaning a story, where I grew up. It scared off campers in its area that were not from the surrounding area. So it would scare people away when it came in there. It never hurt me or my friends, even though we went for walks all night. It tore apart turtles and melons from a nearby farm. That's kind of an odd combination. Did the guy farm melons and then also farm turtles?
Maybe he had a pond.
He was like a turtle melon farmer?
Yeah.
A mel turtle farmer?
Yeah.
A talon farmer? I don't know.
Or maybe he had the melons to feed the turtles.
Oh, maybe. Maybe that's true. From a nearby farm. One morning, it was at the river drinking, and I was walking. It looked at me and was not surprised and walked into the cornfield to, she assumes, its home. Although pets have went missing in the freezing cold, it has never attacked us. So it's never attacked actual people, just animals. Bigfoot also has been seen by many in this area and videotaped. We believe it to be a North American ape because it swings from trees like an ape.
Yeah. Does she state where she's from?
So that's very interesting. She doesn't say.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, she doesn't say. Heidi, please take a moment and reach out to us and let us know where you're from so that we can maybe do a little bit more research about it and add to that article.
So did she say that the being that went into the cornfield looked like an ape, or that there's another one that looks like an ape?
I believe it was the same animal that she saw. Okay, so I mentioned Ghost Quest, and I mentioned the post on the blog, and I mentioned subscribing. So, okay, so the last thing that I wanted to bring up was in honor of the one-year anniversary of Hauntheads, I got Miss Mimi a little something.
Aww.
And it's very, it also was very stressful to acquire, but, and it's glass, so you're going to have to probably pull it out with the stuffing. But there you go.
I love presents.
Presents are great.
Stay spooky. It's a mug.
Yeah, and some candy.
With chewy, cherry sours.
On the other side, there's the logo.
Hauntheads.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you,
Jimmy. Is it good? I did good?
And all I got you was a cupcake.
Hey, it was a real good fucking cupcake.
It's a really good fucking.
It was a really good cupcake.
I agree.
Gigi's cupcakes, they're fantastic.
Yes, they are.
Yep. If you ever need a cupcake fix, be sure to head on over to Gigi's across from Mayfair Mall on Mayfair Road, because they are fantastic.
Shout out Gigi's.
You know, sometimes I wonder if people think that, like, we get paid for the shout outs that we do. We totally don't.
No,
we just say things that we like, and sometimes we shit on things too, but for the most part, it's like, hey, I went here and I had a really good experience and blah, 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 and, you know, whatever. This week I have Knife-Wielding Killer, the Maniac in the Back Seat, and the One Tucked Into Our Psyches.
Oh, that sounds so much better than mine.
What? Come on.
I have to start titling mine again. I haven't done that in a while. So we're back in Wisconsin, and we are going to Pioneers Rest Cemetery in Canton, Wisconsin, also known as Bantley Graveyard to some.
Bantley Graveyard.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But it's a place that we could go visit.
Oh, it is absolutely. Yeah. There's a couple of graveyards that I really want to check out.
I love graveyards.
I feel like there's one on the south side that's like really old and... A lot of the stones are pretty ornate. I would really like to go in there and kind of poke around.
There's a whole bunch of neat cherries.
I kind of feel bad, though, when I go in and do that, because I don't bring, like, flowers or anything. I just go and wander and stare at the headstones.
All you have to do is be respectful and say, hi, David, or hi, Gertrude. That's what I do anyway.
Yeah.
So, there's one on 27th Street, South 27th Street, a real big old one.
Yeah, absolutely.
My grandma's there.
Oh, that's nice.
And my grandpa.
Yeah, we can go visit your family.
Yeah.
My family is in cemeteries in Newfoundland, so.
Oh, well, we should go there today.
I think it was 2 years ago when we went home for our last visit. They had the cemetery open where my great-great-great-great-grandfather is buried. He was a French admiral. I think I've told this story before. But my family owns land in Admiral's Cove in Newfoundland because he was put ashore and the queen granted him land. He's buried up there. But his tombstone is actually lying down on the ground. And because the ground is so, like, boggy, it's just swallowing the headstone. So every time we go up there, we have to, like, pry it out of the ground. And then put it back. So, I mean, it's gotten to a point where I don't even think that the remains are necessarily where...
They're supposed to be.
Yeah, I feel like they've been shifted around so much. Even if there's anything left, I don't even think.
Well,
there might.
As long as they don't float to the top.
No, they don't float to the top. It's like, it just sucks everything down, you know, because it's so boggy and mossy.
Well, in the hurricanes down south, bodies were floating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was in Belize, I was really fascinated by their cemeteries. all of their cemeteries, or no, above sea level? Yeah, above sea level. So they don't bury anybody in the ground. They don't inter them that way. They have, like, family crypts. And each crypt is painted a different color.
Oh.
So, like, some of them are pink and some of them are yellow, but they're, like, really cheery, like, pastel colors. Mm-hmm. I think I have a couple of pictures.
Neat.
That maybe I should share on the Twitter page, because it's pretty interesting. I find funerary customs in different cultures very interesting. Very, very interesting. Because you think about it, you know, like, yeah, grandpa died, and now we're going to inter him in this bright pink mausoleum,
right.
You know? And it's like, you know, you're sad about grandpa dying, but there's this whole culture of death that kind of permeates, you know? I don't know. It's kind of interesting. All right. Who wants to go first?
Well.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I think I'll go first today.
Okay.
Because mine's kind of short.
Oh, okay.
But I'd like to go here anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so we are at Pioneers Rest Cemetery. It's also known to some as Bantley Graveyard, and it's located in Canton, Wisconsin. The tale of this haunting starts in an old barn next to the cemetery. A certain Mr. Bantley murdered his wife and four children in the barn and then killed himself.
Oh, God.
Although there's no records of a Mr. Bantley, and there's no records of a family being killed. Okay, so it's just a local tale.
Uh-huh.
Also, it's stated that Satanists used to do their religious...
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call it. Religious ceremonies there. But there's no proof of that either.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I just finished an audiobook called Savage Kids or something like that. It was written by a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that in cases where you see, like, pentagrams and shit like that drawn in abandoned places, he said most of the time that's done by teenagers.
Okay.
Because people who are actually doing that and practicing are not going around with spray cans, spray painting all of their shit everywhere, because they don't want people to know that they're doing there, because they don't want onlookers.
Right.
Whereas the kids are just going around, you know, on a lark and painting satanic symbols everywhere. Yeah. And it's like, well, you know, it makes the place creepier, whatever. They're just trying to freak their friends out.
Yeah.
So, that's really interesting that you say that.
On that note, on Netflix, there's a show called Veronica.
Oh.
And it was a movie, and it takes place in Spain.
Okay.
And,
is it subtitles?
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
It's, told, it's kind of the detective told what happened, and it has a little bit to do with, bringing something over from the other side.
Oh.
And it was just very good. Very interesting. So it's kind of based on a true story.
Yeah.
With, of course, liberties, but it was very good. So, anywho, there's a bird bath. Well, it's actually a planter, but some people call it a bird bath.
Right.
On the cemetery property that they say is stained with blood. But certain people have not seen blood. Other people have said that they have seen blood or rust stains on it. So they think it's been used for sacrifices. But there's no real proof.
Yeah, there's no proof.
So,
that's the worst thing with a lot of these, like, stories. They're not really necessarily, like, stories of hauntings. They're stories that are folk legends.
Right.
That have just been kind of passed down. And then after a while, you get this kind of telephone game thing going on where, like, grandpa tells, you know, your father about it, and then your father tells you and your friends about it to try to freak you out at a sleepover or something. And then you go and you tell 10 other people, and by the time it gets to the other person, they're like, turtles and cantaloupes, what? Yeah. So, I mean, it's like what? Yeah. Anyway.
another story is that one evening, two boys were playing tag in the cemetery, and a hand came out and grabbed one boy by the ankle. Oh. And the boy was apparently so terrified that he died of fright right there on the spot. Oh. Okay. But the weird part is what comes next. Okay. He was found inside the cemetery, but his friend was found outside the cemetery, dead as a doorknob. Okay, oh. So now how do they know that they were playing tag? How do we know that, you know, the that they died of fright?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I think that's just another telling of the story.
Right, yeah.
And there's no record of two boys being found dead. So there's multiple sightings by multiple people of a little girl hanging out in a tree.
Okay.
But we don't know what her name is or anything about her. But multiple people have seen her. And another story is of a woman named Kate Blood. She apparently was known as a witch. The story goes that she murdered her husband and children with an axe, and then she killed herself.
Oh.
Another story is that she was an adulteress who, and her husband killed her. It's said that over her grave, a dark shadowed figure is seen hovering, and that blood will ooze from the headstone.
Oh.
However, there is a real woman that went by the name of Katie, and she had contracted tuberculosis. And she had family down in Lawrence, Kentucky, so she went and lived down there with her family. And she died down there. Her husband, George, lived 42 years after her death, and he remarried, but there's no tale of children being killed or anything like that. After dark, many sightings of ghostly apparitions or shadow people are seen kind of wandering the cemetery. Also, again, that small girl in the trees, for some reason she likes to hang out in trees.
Right.
Have been seen. It's during the day that people walking past the cemetery will see shadow people or shadows that move out of the corner of their eyes, which is kind of weird because usually you don't hear about that stuff happening during the day. But numerous people have said they've seen, like, weird shadows moving.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Located near the cemetery, this is what I want to go there to do.
Yeah.
Near the cemetery is a bridge, and it's said that if you drive over 25 miles per hour, that your brakes will give out. I couldn't find anything on it happening to somebody, but that's just another tale. So we'll have to go try that. And
what is the, just because I'm a driving instructor, what is the speed limit supposed to be?
Didn't say, but we could go find out. I don't think it's that long of a drive. And then the real icky thing that happened here, and this is a true story. In 2008, grave robbers came and dug up the grave of an infant.
Oh.
And this infant died in 1925.
Oh.
And it's just really sad because they've never found the body. They've never found who did it.
Oh.
Police are still looking. Just really sad. Leave the dead alone, people.
Yeah.
Especially,
you know, I...
babies.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I often wonder about, because I'm a weirdo, and I enjoy, you know, collecting weird and odd things. Mm-hmm. I am a member of several groups on Facebook that people sell different things. And, there's a couple of people on there that always seem to have, like, human skulls or, like, human bones or, you know, like, this one guy was selling, like, slices of brain, like, human brain.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, but it was kind of cool because it was thin enough that, like, if you held it up to the light, you could see all the different, I don't know. I mean, I find it fascinating because that's all we are. Like, we are what's in our heads.
Yeah.
And when you remove that and look at it, you're just like, well, it's just an organ, like your heart or your lungs or whatever. Right. But it contains all of this information, and all of that makes you you. You know, so I don't know. I find that really interesting, but...
But you wonder where...
But I just wonder where it came from. Like, are you a mortician? you know, and you're like removing things that you're not supposed to be removing, or like, do you work at a crematorium and maybe like something, you know, like I don't know. Yeah, it's just, so I mean, it freaks me out a little bit. Like, at some point, I would really like to start a skull collection, mm-hmm. but I don't think that I would ever have human samples in there. Like, I feel like the closest I would get would be, like, a gorilla. Or, like, a larger ape. That would be as far as going humanoid. But it does make you wonder, because it's like, every week there's new, you know, right. there's new posts, and it's like, where are you getting this? Like, there's a guy that has a shop in England, and he's constantly having people come in and, like, sell him this stuff. And I'm like, where are you finding it? Like, and it's not new, like, okay, so, you know, this person donated their body to science, and now we have his remains, and we turned it into an instructional skeleton. And, you know, now we took the instructional skeleton apart because we no longer need it, so we're piecing it out. You know, like, it's not shiny white bone.
Right.
It's, like, stuff that's looks like it's been buried. And now, all of a sudden, it's on the market and it's for sale.
Well, I read on Facebook, of course, my...
right. You
know, the truth is out there on Facebook.
Somewhere. We don't know where, but it's there somewhere.
I read a while ago that with all the new building going on and, you know, pipes breaking and they have to go dig, that they're finding a lot of dead bodies and soldiers from different periods of time and coins. And
Well, I mean, when I was in Rome, there was a pizza place in Rome where you could go down in the basement, and it was like an old Roman bath, like a bathhouse.
Yeah.
And there were some human remains down there in like a little, what do they call that, an ossuary?
I'm not sure, but I think I know what you're talking about, like a little...
But it's like a little cutout, and then they had like some of the bones stacked there.
Yeah.
And there was like five or six skulls there. I was like, I don't know if they're real or if they were put there on purpose, or if they were found there when they, you know, after they built the building. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I hope if they found them, they just left them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I hope, too. Because I don't really like that whole idea of moving remains. Unless you're going to do it properly, you know, and you're going to make sure that every bit goes where it needs to go.
Right.
And you're doing it for a good reason. Right. You know, like... The cemetery is constantly flooding and the remains are getting moved around. Obviously, that can no longer be a cemetery.
Right.
So we need to figure out something else to do with those people.
Right.
I think that's the other part of it, too. Like, we see the remains as people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they used to be people. Now they're just remains.
Right.
But I still have, like, this intrinsic attachment to believing that they're still people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have that.
I think that the people are there.
Yeah, like, you know?
It's not just their quote-unquote carcass.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean, where I come from, a lot of the headstones, because where I come from, cemeteries don't look like parks. I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if it's a cemetery, it's a cemetery. Like, let people do above-ground shit. Let them do whatever they want. It's a cemetery. It's a memorial park.
Right.
But yeah, so when you go into the cemeteries where I come from, there are like pictures of the deceased in like these little protective cases mm-hmm. on the headstones. So, I mean, you can go there and, you know, this was Bob Smith.
Yeah,
and, oh, look, you know, he used to be a woodworker.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's all these like little pictures and stuff, you know, carved into the stone and... There's a little bit about his life and, you know, right. beloved father, brother, nephew, blah, blah, blah. So it's almost like you get to know these people.
A lot of the older cemeteries used to have a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
Then people would steal them right off the thing. But
God,
in a lot of antique stores, you can find them.
Yeah.
Which is sad. It should be.
That's another thing that we need to do. My birthday has passed.
Yes, I know.
But... We need to go antiquing.
Oh, yes.
And I want to go to that place that you mentioned in Eau Claire?
Oh, the one in Eau Claire.
Because you said that that one has a lot of, like, post-mortem photography and a lot of old, like, circusy collectibles. Yes. I was looking for, remember I said that Harry Houdini advertisement where he's, like, debunking spiritualism?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they have something even similar to that, I would be all over it.
An archival, I just barely walked through it,
yeah.
But they had a lot there.
Yeah, they're, like, they're huge. I mean, there's antiques on, used to be antiques on First, I think, and now it's antiques on Pierce in Milwaukee? Or was it the other way around?
One on 5th or 7th, I can't remember.
But it's huge. It's like a, like a big freaking
somewhere.
Warehouse. Yeah, yeah, but it used to be like 3 floors.
We should just go drive around down there.
And now it's 4 floors. There's like, it's gigantic. The place is gigantic. Okay. And Joanne doesn't want to ever go with me. So it's like,
oh, I'll go with you.
Yeah. So I need an antiquing buddy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I love antiquing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should drive around downtown.
Yeah, see what's down there.
And then, Cedarburg is kind of commercial.
Wow.
With their antiques now. But we could just drive to some of those old little towns and pop in on the side of the road.
There's one in Waukesha that's by a really good Chinese food restaurant, too, that we could absolutely hit.
Yeah, and then go for Chinese. Love Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Love me some Chinese.
Me too.
Love it. All right, so that's really interesting. And they never found the bones of that infant,
no,
huh?
They never found the bones of the infant. Yeah.
Whoever did that, you guys are assholes.
Yeah. Bring the baby back.
Just in case you're listening to this, you're probably not, but you guys are assholes.
Yeah. Don't steal people from their graves.
Yeah, that's not something that we want to do.
No.
I don't really have like much faith in my life, but I do believe in karma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you do bad things to other people, you know, when you don't try your best, if you don't try your best to be the best person that you can be, it's going to come back. Yeah, it's going to come back. So, I don't know, maybe somebody will steal their bones after they're dead and turn them into a wind chime or something. Have you ever heard that? There are actually people who make like human bone wind chimes.
Well, I've heard
and it's
that,
the most haunting,
but I've
never
experienced it.
Whoo, give you chills.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh.
There was a guy on Facebook on one of my groups who was selling one that he made. And it was literally like a skull cap. And then he had holes drilled. And he had little like finger bones and
I'm surprised you
toes.
Didn't have one.
And it's human remains. Again, yeah. I just can't. I don't know. That's where I draw the line. I mean, I have like pickled puppy.
Right.
And pickled goat things. And pickled rabbits are over there.
Are those new?
No, they've been there for a while. They actually need their alcohol changed.
Oh, I didn't know you had to change it.
Yeah, you have to change it occasionally because it gets like brown and murky.
Oh.
Or it gets like a yellow tinge to it. It's
just
a lot nicer when
you alcohol you put in it?
It's 70% isopropyl.
Okay.
Which they say that if you go any higher than that, you risk damaging your wet specimens. For those of you who are weird like me and do have wet specimens, you can buy huge containers of it for like $9 at Woodman's. So,
Yeah,
70% isopropyl alcohol. Yep.
Okay, good to know.
Or vodka, but you know, isopropyl alcohol is cheaper. And after you've used it for your wet specimens, then you can't drink it. So it's a waste, you know, it's just a waste. All right. So,
did you ever hear of that one bar? I think it's in Alaska where they drink the toe. They put a toe.
Oh, you mentioned that the last time. Yeah. Oh, God.
They still do that.
Dead man's swig of a dead man's toe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very pirate. Yo ho ho and a swig of a dead man's toe. Okay. Jesus. Okay.
All right.
Some people are weirder than me because I would never want to drink alcohol that had touched a dead man's toe.
No.
I would be like, no, that's okay. You can have it all. I don't need to. I don't need to do that. If I wouldn't suck on my own toe, why would I suck on somebody else's random toe?
I think I need to look up that story.
There's got to be a story behind it.
Oh, there is.
There's got to be.
I saw it on, like, one of the ghost shows.
Oh, there you go.
Strange face shows.
Yeah. So you should put that on your docket.
Yeah, definitely.
And also Dybbuk boxes.
Yes, I still have that to do. I don't know what my hesitation is. I haven't figured it out yet.
You know, maybe it's too close. I mean, some people are weird about that kind of stuff. Like, it just makes them feel weird.
I don't think I feel weird.
No?
But I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Some hesitation, though.
Yeah. That's interesting. I do have some hesitation, and I don't know where it comes from.
Huh. Well.
Maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe I won't. Maybe.
You can also report on that if you want to.
There you go.
Your hesitation. That adds a whole other dimension to it. Right. All right. So, in the vein of folk legend, I am telling another one of my favorite urban legends, which is the maniac in the backseat. The maniac in the backseat, this urban legend has been around for so long, and it's been just retold countless times in countless different ways. It's very, very popular. It's about as popular as the Hookman legend. The humans can lick too. That I covered in one episode. I mean, it's just all in the same vein. They're all very popular urban legends, and they're very commonly told. So yeah, now I have another campfire tale for you. So as usual, I have to set a mood.
Okay.
I feel like when I say I'm going to set a mood, Mimi like nestles in, and it's like,
I love
okay,
stories.
Okay, go, tell me, okay. It's been a lovely evening. A young woman walks out of a popular restaurant and heads to her car, popping the door open and sliding in. Without another thought, she jams the key into the ignition and heads home. It isn't long after she's left the lot that she notices a car behind her. It's approaching fast and the driver is flashing his high beams. The woman is at first annoyed. The lights are distracting and making it hard for her to see the road. She adjusts her rearview mirror so that the light isn't shining directly into her eyes and continues driving. But that's when the honking starts. So the car behind her is accelerating. The driver is laying on his horn, flashing his lights, and driving recklessly. Now the woman can feel fear clawing its way up the back of her throat. The fine hairs on the back of her neck stand on end. This guy is crazy, and he's following her. She realizes that she's close to home, and it seems as if this individual isn't going to leave her alone. So in desperation, she allows the car to follow her back home, throwing the driver's door open before she's barely put the car in park. The woman scrambles up the drive, yelling for her husband to call the police. As she enters the house, she looks back into the driveway and sees the driver of the other car pulling a figure from her back seat and subduing him. An axe-wielding maniac has recently escaped from a nearby lunatic asylum and slipped into the back of her car while she was in the restaurant. Each time the maniac would rise up in the back seat to murder the young woman, the car behind her would flash its lights and honk his horn. The potential killer would then duck down out of view. The young woman was lucky to be alive. The moral of the story? Always check the back seat. Good advice.
Yep.
Right? Now, I'm guilty too. All right? I'm only human. Whenever I leave a mall, a coffee shop, a gas station, a fast food restaurant, I always glance over my shoulder into that back seat. Mm-hmm. I've done it for so long that it makes too much sense not to do it.
And I've told my kids to do it.
Yeah. But where did this fear originate? Where did it come from? Where did I first hear about random strangers hiding in the back seats of cars? Did I imagine it one day as I walked to my car in the dark? Allowing my mind to wander where it shouldn't have gone? Is my paranoia to blame? Turns out, the answer is no. So, according to Wikipedia, the killer in the backseat, also known as high beams, is a common car crime urban legend well known mostly in the United States and the United Kingdom. It was first noted by folklorist Carlos Drake in 1968 in text collected by Indiana University students. So, quote, it's always the same. A young woman in a risky situation. She's leaving the gas station or mall. She's suddenly in grave danger. It takes a random stranger, always a male, you feminists out there, to save her. Now, I'm not a fan of what I like to call the princess complex that's perpetuated by urban legends. But for some reason or another, that's just how they're told. So here's how this one plays out. Quote, the legend involves a woman who is driving and being followed by a strange car or truck. The mysterious pursuer flashes his high beams, tailgates her, sometimes even rams her vehicle. When she finally makes it home, she realizes that the driver was trying to warn her that there was a man, a murderer, a rapist, or an escaped mental patient, hiding in her back seat. Each time the man sat up to attack her, the driver behind uses high beams to scare the killer, and then he ducks down. In some versions, the woman stops for gas, and the attendant asks her to come inside to sort out a problem with her credit card. Inside the station, he asks if she knows that there's a man in her back seat. An example of this rendition of the tale can be seen in the 1998 episode of Millennium, The Pest House. In another, she sees a doll on the road in the moors, stops, and then the man gets in the back. Like, it doesn't always happen at a gas station, but it's popular that she's at some place where you would normally feel safe.
Right.
You know, you're under the lights in the gas station. The lights are pretty bright. You can see everything around you. Right. What is there to fear? You know, the attendant is in there. There's cameras everywhere. Obviously, there's somebody looking out for you, right?
Right.
I mean, that's not always the case, but that's the way that you feel
right
when you go into these places. Right. So, I mean, like, restaurants crowded with people. Of course, somebody's going to see you getting into your car in the restaurant parking lot. You know, fast food. People, those places are blocked. You know, of course, somebody's going to see, you know, somebody's going to help you. So you feel safer in these areas.
Right.
And that's where this urban legend attacks. Those places where you would normally feel safe and surrounded by people when in reality you're all alone, basically. So let's not forget the killer in the backseat tale that played out in the opening of the 1998 film Urban Legend, one of my personal favorites.
Uh-huh.
Now, Jan Harald Brundvand, the author of Encyclopedia of Urban Legends, Volume 1, has this to say about this particular urban legend. So she says, this is a classic automobile horror legend first quoted in a folklore journal by Joanne Stevens Parrochetti, who in 1965 published the transcript of a tape-recorded version told by a Purdue University student. Since this text is not well known, and another one published 3 years later by Carlos Drake has been cited as the earliest one noted by a folklorist, I quote here Parrochetti's version that she titled, The Woman Trailed by Mysterious Car. I heard this when I was in high school. I think about a junior. One night, the girls I ran around with were sitting around telling stories of things that we had heard about. This one girl said that there were two ladies who had gone to a meeting in Indianapolis. I guess to some women's club. Anyway, the meeting got out real late at night, and these ladies, of course, got in the car. They were driving home by themselves. As they were driving along the highway, this one lady, you know how you look in the rearview mirror, noticed that this truck was following her. She didn't know too much about it at first because it was just normal. She would slow down and the truck would slow down, or she would speed up and the truck would stay right behind her. She was getting real scared, so they locked all the doors and she turned onto a side road, but this truck was still following her. So she hurried home as fast as she could. So this one lady got her husband and said that this truck had followed her all the way home. So he came outside to see what it was all about. He went up to the man in the truck and said, what are you doing following my wife home? And he said, I just wanted to tell your wife that there was a man in the backseat of her car. The husband was really shook up. So they went to the back of the car and opened it. And sure enough, there was a man back there. The truck driver saw this man because when he would turn on his lights, he would see the man come up from the back seat, starting to reach forward, and then he ducked down again. But they did call the police, and the police took him to jail. According to Bernvand, this tale was given a boost of popularity in the 1980s when it was featured in Ann Landers' advice column. Now, you'll probably remember that the Hook Man legend was first published in a Dear Abby article.
I didn't know that. Did I know that?
Yeah, I mentioned it in the episode that I did the Hook-Handed Killer. Yeah.
I guess it went
on. it was first mentioned in a Dear Abby column. Somebody wrote in and they said, hey, you know, pay attention to Lover's Lanes because, you know, it's a place where kids go to get jiggy with it. So we want to deter them from doing that. So we're going to tell them this story about Lover's Lanes and then it'll scare them off. Well, of course it didn't, but still. So an individual wrote Landers in 1982, opening the letter with, I tell this story to everyone I meet, but I hope that by telling you, others will get the message. The story ran concurrently in several newspapers, but received little response from Landers. The writer ended with the moral, always check the back seat, and encouraged Landers to spread the word. Landers simply replied, quote, consider it spread, and thanks for the tip. The story always found its way into crime prevention brochures. So in 1983, a widely reprinted New York Times article spoke of a woman who was a karate expert and gives courses on anti-abduction techniques. So the story the expert used as an example was the urban legend of the killer in the backseat choosing a gas station version to drive her point home. So it seems like there are two classic versions of this particular urban legend. In the first telling, the woman is on the way home from a night with the girls. She's leaving the restaurant or bar. In the second version, the woman stops at a gas station to refuel. The woman is told over the intercom by the gas station attendant that there's an issue with her credit card or that she has to come in to sign the slip. So she'll have to come into the service station to resolve it. Now, the setting of a gas station at night is a familiar one. You may remember a few years ago a tale about a predator who would hide under cars while women were refueling. And they would slice women's ankles with, like, razor or piano wire. And this version had something to do with gang initiation, and it was circulated as chainmail. Like, generally when you get something as chainmail, you're like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's chainmail. You know it's bullshit. But this is, I mean, it's just so, it's so popular that people start telling it by word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And then there's something about somebody telling you something face-to-face that lends it some credibility, and it latches on to you, you know?
They really know what they're talking about.
Yeah, like, yeah, and it could be, like, your friend who does nothing but talk shit all day.
Right.
You know, and you're like, I don't ever listen to Jim because he's full of shit.
Right.
And then all of a sudden Jim says, hey, did you hear about the gas station on the razor wire? And you'll be like, oh, shit, no, I didn't. Tell me about it, Jim. Yep. And automatically you're sucked in. And there's just something about it. I don't know. So here's the version that was circulated by the chain letter. A friend stopped at a pay-at-the-pump gas station to get gas. Once she filled her gas tank and after paying at the pump started to leave, the voice of the attendant inside came over the loudspeaker. He told her that something happened with her card. She needed to come inside to pay. The lady was confused because the transaction showed complete and approved. She relayed to him that she was getting ready to leave, but the attendant once again urged her to come inside to pay or there'd be trouble. So he almost threatens her to get her in there. She proceeded to go inside, and after arguing with the attendant about his threat, he told her to calm down and listen carefully. He said that while she was pumping gas, a guy slipped into the backseat of her car on the other side, and that the attendant had already called the police. She became frightened and looked out in time to see her car door open and the guy slip out. The report is that there's a new, like, gang initiation thing where you bring back a woman and or her car. One way they're doing this is by crawling under women's cars while they're pumping gas at grocery stores in the nighttime. The other way is slipping into unattended cars and kidnapping women. Please pass this on to other women, young and old alike. Be careful going to and from your car at night. If at all possible, don't go alone. This is real! Exclamation point. Exclamation point. Exclamation point.
I pass that along on Facebook.
The message. 1. Always lock your car doors, even if you're gone for just a second. 2. Check underneath your car when approaching it for re-entry, and check in the back before getting in. 3. Always be aware of your surroundings and of other individuals in your general vicinity, particularly at night. Send this to everyone so that your friends can take precaution. And guys, you tell any women you know about this. Thanks. Signed, Barbara Baker, Secretary Directorate of Training U.S. Army Military Police School. So, they kind of try to give it an air of credibility right at the end. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you shouldn't check your backseat. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be aware of your surroundings. What I'm saying is, when you get something in your email that says it's from Barbara Baker, Secretary Directorate of Training U.S. Army Military Police School, with no punctuation and no, like, official, like, military stamp or, like, state stamp, like, nothing, maybe take that with, like,
well,
a grain of salt.
I had something like that, and I passed it along because it was good advice.
Oh, it's just
whether
terrible.
Whether or not it was real, it was good advice.
I mean, yeah, at the end, it's good advice, but it's still perpetuating this.
I know.
You know, it's like, but that didn't actually happen. You know, so you then get into the area of urban legend, of folk, right, folk legend. Okay, so what do we make of all this killer in the backseat mumbo jumbo? It's certainly never happened in real life, right? Actually, that's not entirely true. It did actually happen to a male police officer in 1964. Apparently, the cop found an escaped murderer in the backseat of his cruiser.
Oh, geez.
The killer was subdued and subsequently arrested. But is this instance still fueling the paranoia of female motorists? So, it happened to a cop, a male cop, but there's no report of it actually happening to a female motorist. You know, like a legitimate source has not reported that it's happened. Not
that's
to say that
females are smarter than males, maybe.
Well, part of it. Okay, so I kind of like was trying to sort through this in my head. So I feel like part of it is a lot of the instances of attempted murder that you see like that are by people that the woman knows, mm-hmm, or knows by extension, friend right of a friend, right? Right. Random strangers don't generally go around killing random strangers in such a personal way. Mm-hmm. It's very personalized. You know, like, you're going to hide in the back seat, and then you're going to, like, what? You're going to stab her, you're going to strangle her. You're getting into somebody else's car. You don't know what's in that car. It's an unknown. It's a complete unknown. You don't know if that person has concealed carry. You could try to stab them, and they could blow your face off. Like, it's just so unpredictable that it doesn't ring true to me. Like, if I were that person, I would not be like, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to crawl in the backseat of this car, get my DNA everywhere. Like, let me just rub myself all over the place here so that they can find me later. And then hide in the backseat and murder somebody. I don't know. It seems like it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's just too much. You know.
Well, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
That's true. That's true. It is true. So, yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible that at some point in the past, a woman was in danger of being murdered by an assailant hiding in her backseat. The strange thing about this urban legend is it isn't as popular in Europe as it is in the United States. Oh. So, although the killer in the backseat story also ran in some European newspapers, it just never caught on. So what does that say about American culture? Are Americans more apt to believe that random strangers are out to kill them? Perhaps. But in all honesty, checking in the backseat prior to getting in your car isn't a terrible idea, because you never know who might be lurking there. Yeah, there are a lot of creepers, that's for sure. So yeah, that's my shizzle.
All right, that was a good one. You're a good storyteller.
It's the urban legend stuff that like really is my jam. I love that. Cool. Love that stuff. So do we have anything else this week? I've told everybody to subscribe.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
And to like us on Ghost, what's that called?
Oh, yeah. If you want to go to ghostquest.net, you can find Hauntheads just by scrolling down a little bit on their featured podcast page. And you can give us a little, you know, a little like there. Also, go on to iTunes. Leave us a review. They're very important to us. It lets us know how we can improve, whether or not you liked something, you know, whether you disliked something, you never want us to do it again. that's all stuff that we can learn by looking at our iTunes
and
reviews.
Send us your stories like Heidi did.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Heidi.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure that you send us your stories of hauntings, your favorite folklore tales, your favorite urban legends.
Or anything weird you want to share.
Yeah. Or, I mean, if you want to recommend a topic, you can absolutely do that too.
Yeah.
I think I have a couple of topics that have been recommended that I haven't quite gotten to yet. But I might feed them to Mimi because they seem more her style than me. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see about that. I think that's it for us this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we love you.
Goodbye. It was great to hear from you.
Uh-huh.
Peace out, people.
And we'll see you next time. And as always, stay spooky.
St. James Infirmary. You know, I saw my baby there. Oh, she was stretched out on that long white table.